This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
All right, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, now up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. A Friday afternoon in Toronto. The Leafs coming off a 2-1 loss in a shootout last night. Raptors in action with Washington in town tonight. And then the Leafs have Chicago here tomorrow night. And that'll be it for the Leafs. Then they're off for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
On a bye week, which I still don't really understand the bye week. Like, it's been around for, what, 2 years, 3 years? I can't really figure out.
Well, the players said, we'll do the World Cup, but we want 5 days off every year.
Yeah, I don't blame them, but...
No, but now you get this bye week, and then what you do is you get a condensed schedule. Like, that's, you know, you still have the same amount of games in the same amount of time, whether it's 190 days, 200 days, whatever the league sets out. You get 5 days off in there. Okay, no problem. We got to work around. And you have a mandatory day off per week. Now, I was talking to a coach the other day. He was like, it's tough for me to practice my team. Because he's like, we play 3 games a week. You got a mandatory day off. And he's like, I want to rest my top players. He's like, I'd like to work on special teams. He's like, I can't.
That's a great point with all the turnover, too.
Yeah.
Like, how many new coaches are in the league right now? And they're like, I don't have a practice schedule for a week and a half.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind mixing in a D-zone coverage.
But that's
drill.
The thing. Like he said, like this coach was just telling me, he said, like, we do a lot of video and a lot of basically simulation in the room. But he's like, it would be nice to execute it on the ice in 40-minute hard practice systems. He's like, you can't.
I wonder if a coach on the way out has gone, like, just ballistic, you know, after getting the pink slip, getting fired.
Right.
If he's like, are you kidding me, man? I haven't had a practice in a month and a half.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want out of me? Like, the team's not playing that well. Yeah, but I don't even have an opportunity to make an adjustment.
Well, and especially if you, I'll give an example of Pete DeBoer. Couldn't get a save. Veteran players not living up to their contracts or, you know, having their great seasons. And most of those veteran players don't practice. Because they're resting their bodies. So you're trying to adjust on the fly. I'm not making excuses for Pete DeBoer whatsoever. But I'm just looking at a case scenario of a team like San Jose where a lot of that group is 30-plus. Well, the 30-plus players, they're not going out on optional skates. A lot of times they're not taking morning skates because those morning skates are optional. So you don't get a lot of practice time. And I actually had to talk to a coach who had a very young team, too, saying, like, yeah, I want to skate these guys, but I've got players that I want to rest. And he's like, I have to schedule my practices really in a morning skate. And you don't want to tax them too much. It's more about just going through some routines.
Well, and I guess the counter from a player or an athlete would be, yeah, I don't practice like they used to 30 or 40 years ago.
Right.
But 30 or 40 years ago, those guys at the end of the season would hang up their skates and pick them up again day one of camp.
And they're not wrong.
I work out every day in the summer, and yes. I skate 3 times a week for me to only take an optional when I'm playing, for me to not practice
and
4 or 5 times a week
during the
year.
And the guys are in shape.
They're in just impeccable shape.
But
unless you're fighting an injury, right? Like the Raptors are going through that right now.
Right.
Even after they got a big win the other night. Nick Nurse admitted to it. He's like, I'm concerned about our conditioning. Like, Siakam's been out, Gasol's been out, Powell's been out, Van Vliet is out.
Right.
And that's a legitimate concern. It's not that these guys are out of shape. It's that they're not in perfect shape like the rest of the league.
Game shape. Timing,
but even the definition of game shape today has adjusted dramatically in 20 years.
Right.
Like, you can't just slow down in sports anymore. You are on the clock and moving and going every time the whistle blows. Like if the puck drops or the ball gets thrown in the air or you're playing football, like if you can't keep up, because the other athletes are machines now.
Yeah.
And if you can't keep up, you're not playing.
No, you're right.
Like there's no compensating for it. There's no, well, I got a lot of talent. Like the talent can to an extent, but not really.
Don't you think the only way to be that way is playing games? Like if you want to do down and back drills, that's great, but the only way you get in total game shape is playing.
Well, I guess with the Maple Leafs, all right, you look at it. John Tavares played 26 minutes last night.
He does not need to see a sheet of ice.
Do you think he's in better shape because of that? Like, let's say he hasn't practiced, hasn't taken an optional in 2 weeks. Is he in better shape because he's playing an extra 5 minutes during the game?
I don't know. I would think that he could handle those minutes and he's in great shape. But let's say he plays 18 minutes, but I just talked about maybe on special teams he gets touches. You're going through routines. Like, there's certain things. Five-on-five is different. Special teams, if he's a first power play guy and he hasn't run through that routine and the chemistry where it becomes habit instead of having to think, that's where you're out of game shape.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. We're just talking about being in shape, not being able to practice, all the turnover in the NHL, which I'm sure is frustrating for the new coaches because guys, teams just don't practice the way they once did. But the idea of being in optimal shape because you of what you're doing during the game. In other words, if you play more minutes, you're going to be in better shape in general. You think that makes sense, or does it have to come through bag skates and riding the bike and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the guys now use the gym more than more than just we never used it, I guess, but like more than even just a few years ago, and they're working on strength, they do circuits, so they're working on their conditioning. There's various ways so you don't have to waste your time on the ice. And I guess the biggest problem the coaches have is, you know, as you mentioned, but trying to utilize the rare practice time they get. And the last thing they want to do is waste 20 minutes skating the guys up and down the ice. That seems like a colossal waste of time. And I think the guys work out most days. They have some sort of staggered workouts, either post-game, which is the best time to work out because that's the farthest time from your next ice time, or after practice. You'll have workouts on the board, and everybody has various workouts or different workouts depending on how much you play or whether you've got an injury that you're dealing with or something like that. But the gym is really where the conditioning is going to come from for the most part.
I used to find the guy that hated working out as much as me when we had those like resistance training, and they would not care as much as me, and it was basically my kind of workout that neither of us enjoyed, and we kind of mailed it in.
So you found the backup goalie then.
Something like that.
Push-pull drills with the backup goalie in the corner.
The old push-pull drills where the guy doesn't care, and that's what I liked.
Hey, you got to make it look a little bit like you're putting some resistance out there. We're lapping the field. That can't happen.
No, what we were talking about too, Ray, how we came about it is the Leafs play tomorrow, and then they've got their bye week and then the All-Star game. So they've got a lot of time off, and Hayes was saying, do people like this bye week or whatever? And I don't know if guys like it because you have to play the same amount of games just in less days now.
Well, I don't know. Don't you think they'd like it when they're sitting on the beach?
I guess
they love that week.
But they just don't. But when you come back, let's say you got to play 16 games in March because you've got to still get through the schedule.
Well, I got Tampa Bay tonight in Winnipeg, and this is their 13th game in 21 days. Like, what kind of schedule is that?
Yeah, that is like a baseball schedule.
Yeah.
Like it and it's, as you say, they lose 5 days. Because of the mandatory break, and I don't know, it just seems like the schedule could be spaced out a little bit differently. But the last little agreement came up with this 5 day break, and I think it's probably great at the time. But there are times when past the break, you're like, man, this schedule's really not very good. We got here.
We were talking about William Nylander in the previous hour, who scored another goal last night. He's having a great year. He's got 42 points, 21 goals. And I know you're on the email chain. You're going to do it. We're going to revise our top 50 at the halfway point for TSN and TSN.ca. It doesn't mean these are legitimately the 50 best players on the planet. It means who has had the best 45 games
half
to start
a season.
The season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I said I will have Nylander in my top 50. He'll be somewhere in the 40s, but Owen and I will have him in there. Noodles was a little bit dicey. Might get in, might not.
Yeah, I mean, after you make a compelling argument, but I said, like, I compare him a lot to Nikolaj Ehlers, and that's a guy who's on the fence for me.
What about you, Ray?
Yeah, I've got it filled out. I haven't sent it in. I can't remember. Nylander was in a bubble of about 15 guys around like 40 to not quite making it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into guys like Tara Vinen from Carolina.
Yeah.
Guy's having an amazing year.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, damn, there's another guy in the pot, right? Like, the first 30 are easy. I mean, like, they're guys just having just standout years. And the biggest problem is you put them 15th or 8th or something like that. But, like, Nylander is, from wherever we would have had him rated at the beginning of the year to now, is like he's in a completely different stratosphere. He looks like a completely different player. I don't recall, I guess I've got to send it in by tomorrow, but I don't recall if I've got him in yet or not, or if he's just one of those guys on the outside.
Is it tomorrow? I thought it got extended to Monday.
I think there was an extension.
I hope it's Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say. There was an unofficial extension, I thought
we got an extension.
Then guess what? The Quizmaster is going to be surprised if he's expecting it Saturday and you guys send it Monday.
Yeah, no, I
think we got the old university extension.
I made a mental note as to, because I started it yesterday and I said, all right, I can get to it this weekend and I will deliver it through an email Monday morning. That's kind of what I thought.
That's my plan.
I thought it was the 20th, but it had to be in.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, I don't think it's an exact science, but I believe we got the old college extension, which is always...
They knew Hayes was on the list and had a big weekend plan.
Right.
That's why.
Everyone's procrastinating.
It's well,
the go-to move.
The thing comes out and you're like, yeah, I'll get it done. I'll get it done. Oh, boy, there go 3 more days. Oops.
Yeah, that's the move, man. In university, the greasiest move of all time was going to get a doctor's note saying that you were sick. Like, you're like 22 years old. Like, grow up.
You missed your deadline?
Yeah, because
you
missed your deadline.
Well, you have to have yours done because you're gone.
Yeah, I'll get mine done. I'll figure it out. I'm going to San Fran. I'm going to the Packer game.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
Ask him the poll question.
Well, I was planning, prior to showing up with these two guys, I mean, these guys are as paranoid as they come, that I was going to wear a Packer sweatshirt at the game in enemy territory. But it's San Fran. It's not Oakland. It's not Philly. But both of them are adamant that I should not do that because I might get suckered on the way out of the stadium. What are your thoughts on that?
What a story that would make, though. I think you should.
For that alone, in hopes that I will get sucked.
Ray, be serious. Like, you can't recommend, like, just save yourself the problems. Like, who wants to deal with a guy yelling at him? Would you honestly do that?
No, of course I wouldn't, but I think Brian could.
It would be a great story.
You're basically saying you want him to get his face punched in.
He has said personality.
Not punched in. Maybe just, like, you know, like, taking like some heat.
Somebody,
I think I would like that.
So somebody gives you like an elbow on the way by.
No, there's no in between. There's no taking heat. It's either nothing or a guy's going to drill you in the side of the head.
Right.
Well, I don't want that to happen.
That's what I don't want either.
Well, thank you,
Ray. You could protect yourself maybe by putting green face paint on, too. It would give you an extra layer of protection.
Well, that was my concern, is there will be guys that will be doing that.
Yeah, like cheeseheads.
Packer fans travel as well as any fan base in the league. 25 to 30% of that stadium will be green and yellow, and then I'll be there like a gutless weasel.
Just wear white. That's it. Neutral.
I'm not wearing red. That would be... No. Imagine I
just
show up...
Get a Garoppolo jersey and wear that.
That is the most gutless maneuver.
It is, but...
Of all time.
It's safety.
Yeah, I'd prefer to make it home. Like a video of me being like helicoptered out of the stadium.
The video I want is someone finding out that you just bought the Garoppolo jersey just to be safe and someone just dummying you.
Because they lost respect for
me.
Yeah.
Like you ratted yourself out and they found out and they just pile-drived you into the corner.
Send me a message. Have some integrity. Yeah. You're a Packer fan. How dare you? Yeah, no. So anyway, long story short, I'll have William Nylander in there. But he's having a great year. I mean, he really is. He's having a very good year. I thought he was probably the best player on the ice last night, right? I thought Nylander was very good.
Forward, right? He made that great dance through.
Yep.
He had the puck a lot. He set up a couple of really good chances. Toronto played good last night. They just they ran into a stone wall. I mean, that Riddick was fantastic last night. It's hard to play much better than that. I mean, he's, what did he make? Like three or four cross crease robberies.
Yeah.
You know, like he was outstanding.
The only Canadian team that hasn't played here yet is Vancouver. They're here later in the year. But now we've had Calgary, Winnipeg, and Edmonton over about a week and a half, 2 week stretch. Since we were talking about the top 50 and the halfway point prior to the year, I know we all had to rank our seven Canadian teams.
Yeah.
I won't ask you to rank one through seven, but who's your number one at this point?
Oh, Toronto, I would say, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you get those three teams out west, and it depends on the day who you rank higher, right? Because if you're just looking at the standings, or I guess I'd like to put McDavid first out of them, but you know, I don't know that I could do that. Vancouver's been as good as anybody out there. I think Edmonton is probably borderline third out of that group for me. Calgary in the middle. But maybe next week I'd rank them differently. I mean, they're not; those teams aren't as good as Toronto. I don't believe.
I would have Winnipeg higher personally. Not higher than Toronto though. But no. I think Hellebuck's having a season, and that skill up front is as skilled as anybody in the league.
I did the game here. I don't know, whenever I was here last Tuesday, and they beat Vancouver 4-0. It was the most untidy 4-0 shutout that I've ever seen.
It was, how's that even possible?
Oh,
well, Hellebuck was great.
So Pettersson hit two posts, Horvat hit one, Pettersson missed an open net, Hellebuck made, I don't know, half a dozen unbelievable saves, and Vancouver got nothing out of the thing. So there, I think it's a weird thing. Like in Winnipeg here, there's talk about, you know, should they re-sign Paul Maurice? He's in the last year of his deal. I think he's done an amazing job. Look at their six defensemen. You can't come up with five groups in the NHL that are more underwhelming than them. Yet they all kind of hang in there and they scrap around, and you know, like Anthony Boteto was playing big minutes for them. They were pumped. Lucas Pisa got back in the lineup. They got Dmitry Kulikov. Neil Pionk's had a terrific year. Josh Morrissey, that's not a oh look at my defense group, is it?
No.
You know, and I don't. Their skill up front is awesome, and that's what carries them. The guys up front. And their goalie. But I think Vancouver's deep. They score a lot. If Edmonton can get decent play out of their back end and some depth scoring, then they're pretty decent. Calgary should be better than they are, but you know, they've actually put together their 6-0-1 6-1-0 since the new year. So maybe it's their time to go on a little bit of a run too.
Yeah, well, like you said, if Riddick plays the way he did last night, that's gonna go a long way. And I would put Toronto at number one as well. But you look at their current defense core; it is Winnipeg.
That's what I was saying. I did that game the other day, and I, honest to God, I lined up the goals and the points, and didn't put names, front, forwards, D, and goalies. They almost mirrored each other because, you know, however you want to say it, like Wheeler can cancel off Marner, for example, and Ehlers can cancel off Nylander, and Connor can cancel off this player. And you're like, man, they mirror each other, but the defensive core, a little bit, like Morrissey hasn't had a great season, Ray, right? Like that's,
right.
You know, that's,
yeah.
I would think Morrissey and Riley kind of maybe would cancel each other, but Morrissey hasn't had a great season.
I think he misses his boy Trouba.
Well, for sure he does. Like they,
because those guys were a shutdown D pair. And
but that's the thing, you want more out of Tyson Barry, you know, and that's where I think Toronto could push ahead, is if Barry was having a season and had settled in and was having a season, then, you know, that's where their defensive core looks better to me.
I thought Barry was really good last night. Like I thought he made a lot of good plays. He was, mm-hmm. He looked really, I don't know, looked more like himself. I don't know if people thought they were getting a different type of player. Like, last year, Colorado, they were really careful about who he played against. And, you know, it seemed like when he got here, people were expecting something different. I mean, his game is the puck.
That's not it. It's not Chris Pronger.
No.
No. No.
Someone texting in saying the best possible option would be Hayes going full-blown gutless, wearing a Niners jersey, and then getting dummied by a Packer fan. That would be the
perfect. And him yelling, I'm a fan.
Right. Like, and him being like, you suck, you loser. Yeah, like Go Packers.
Garoppolo jersey.
And some guy in a Rodgers jersey just
suckers you and gummies you.
Yeah, that would serve me right, I guess. Yeah. And that.
What about go with the, like, wear double up the T-shirts?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. It's supposed to be like 12 degrees and sunny, so.
No, but I'm just saying, like, and no matter what, if you're in the wrong section, you can just flip the shirt.
Oh, I see.
No, both. Be that guy. Wear 14 shirts. Like that guy that's at the game that has, like,
that throws them into the stands.
Oh, yeah. Have like 10 Niners shirts, and then the last one, Packers.
Well, you can find the half and half. Like, it's the dumbest look ever, but half
there was a guy
Niners,
last
half
night.
Packer.
No.
That's fine if it's the guy's parents, and they've got one kid playing on each team.
Keith Kachuk's wearing that tomorrow in Ottawa.
Yeah.
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 I don't think I can pull it off.
You should.
I should look for it. I'll see. All right, buddy.
Is there any chance your wife sends you out there wearing a Packer jersey? Here, honey, wear this one.
Good luck.
Yeah. Sign here, here, and here before you leave. And
And here.
Yeah, and here, and here, and here, and here.
Have a good time.
Have a great time. Hugs and kisses and FaceTime me.
Yeah.
Or don't FaceTime me ever again. Whatever
exactly.
You want.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I should pick up on that. If she's really pushing for it tonight, I'll know something's up. So I'll let you know.
If she buys you a cheese head, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, you open your suitcase and it's just a cheese head. That's it. No clothes, nothing. Yeah.
Go have a great time.
Yeah, wear this.
Yeah, and don't ever call me again. Yeah, that would go over well.
And if your cheese head had a comment on it, like Niners suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's
actually,
where...
I'm going to be watching the game. I want to see you make a spectacle of yourself.
I don't know why. I want to see him too. Like I somehow want to see him in the crowd.
What could cause you to run on the field?
Like what? Like, someone's chasing me.
Someone has done it in that. Someone's done it in that stadium. Remember, the guy had his like phone number written, and there was
he
the
was
announcer,
naked, wasn't he?
I don't know. The announcer was commentating like he's at the 20, he's at the 30.
Oh, was that a Niner
Kevin
game?
Harlan.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Harlan, Kevin Harlan. You're right.
He's drunk. He's at the 30.
Yeah, that was an unreal call. That's right.
Yeah, I guess I could try to replicate that. That's one way to not get back in the country.
You know,
I'd get fired immediately.
You know my philosophy. I hope you'd get tasered then.
Yeah, I would deserve
it. Those idiots deserve it, for sure.
I'm going to try to avoid the field, but I think it's a Fox game. I think Fox has the NFC, so I'll see if I can get Troy Aikman to spot me in the crowd and say something about me.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
That's what I want to see you play that again.
Brian. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
And just see you booking it down the field.
There he is. He's got a red eye in about 4 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Have a great time. Enjoy it. Good luck to your pack.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Chat Monday at 5.
Yeah. Later on, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle in January. Visit MapleToyota.com. That one could have gone in the worst of. That was a bit of a choppy read. So if you're wondering when we're doing the worst of, we talked about it at 4. We thought we were going to play it today. We're not. We're going to play it next week at some point.
That's typical us, though.
Yeah, someone had a great tweet about that because I tweeted out, I'm like, worst of, it's been completed, it's go time. And some guy wrote back saying, talking about this as if it was going to happen the next day and then actually dropping it 2 weeks later is peak overdrive.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
How about 3 weeks later? Now we have to push it back another week, and there'll be something else will come up, some complication or...
Well, it's not.
I was so excited. I thought it was going to be an hour off. Like, just roll it.
It's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's never going to be an hour, but we could probably give you a taste at some point. Should we come back a little bit of a taste?
A little nibble.
Just the audio, And we'll give you a little bit of a taste. Like,
I actually want to hear what that debacle, what these guys did yesterday. Like, just some sort of nugget yesterday. Like, what would be the worst nugget in your mind? You drove home at 7 o'clock yesterday, probably furious, and said, I can't believe these two idiots did this or said this. What would be the worst nugget? You can play it.
Yeah, probably the
Buffalo.
The Buffalo one. Because you got to understand it, that Carlo didn't know that it was him at first. He did not know. Like, there's no way.
And I flat out said, I don't think I played with one guy that played in Buffalo.
All right, we'll revisit that. We might give you a taste of the worst of. We're plugging this thing and we're teasing it. Yeah. At some point, we'll get to it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, here we go. All week long, we've been encouraging listeners to enter for their chance to win two spots on TSN 1050's Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from BookSeats.com. Well, Friday is here, and it's time to name our winning follower. So I will announce an Instagram handle, and that person will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Call in, and you win your trip. Tickets, hotel, flights, the whole nine. If you don't call in, someone else will have to be announced, okay? You have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in. At Jake.Mitten. At Jake Mitten. All right? 416-870-1050. Claim your four nights in Florida, including round-trip flights, accommodations, and tickets to see Toronto take on Tampa and Florida. Again, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds. Presented by BookSeats.com.
Give the guy 20 minutes. No?
Hey, listen, man.
10:50.
Rules are rules.
That's the small print. BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. All right? BookSeats.com, which is how I book my trip. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. They got all the stuff there, easy to navigate.
It would just suck so bad if the guy found out that he actually won, but he didn't call in.
Well, that's happened before. Like, we have moved on to other people.
We've gone on to two and three.
Yeah. I don't know if they ever found out. They probably did at some point, like on the podcast the next day.
Right.
That's got to be tough. If you're a podcast listener and the next day you hear your name got called out.
You got your earphones in, wheeling around work, and someone announces your name, but it's a day late.
You would call in still. I guarantee you we've had people call in.
I think you would. And you'd beg.
Yeah. Be like, I missed it yesterday. Any chance?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that's when the grappler has to break their heart. Say no.
Yeah. Well, the grappler is waiting patiently by the phone. So call in, Jake, and there you go. Courtesy of BookSeats.com. All right. You want to hear the part about the Buffalo Sabre, the Leaf that played with O and I guess played with Carlo back in the day and finished his NHL career as a Buffalo Sabre. This is what happened yesterday. Pitting the minds of Jeff O'Neill and Carlo Colaiacovo against each other in Name That Leaf. Trivia from the 2 years they played together in Toronto. This former Leaf, who played with you during those two seasons in Toronto.
I understand that.
Finished his NHL career as a member of the Buffalo Sabres.
Oof. Finished his career.
His NHL career as a Buffalo Sabre. Carlo didn't know.
I honestly can't think of one guy that I played with that played in Buffalo.
Such an idiot here.
Hello? It's him. But I don't even think Carlo
the worst part is Carlo saying, no idea.
Yeah, if you isolate Carlo, his reaction is actually like astonishment and a little bit puzzled.
Like, Buffalo.
He's puzzled. And that's why I was kind of, I'll tell you what I was mad about on the way home.
Right.
You must have been like, these two are kidding me.
But this is how I was flabbergasted, because the rules of trivia, I should have put it back on Carlo.
Right.
But I was like, he has to know it's him.
Right.
But maybe he didn't. Like, that's my biggest disappointment. I should have been like, final answer, nobody? Okay, shut up. Carlo, you're up. What do you think the answer is? Because that would have been maybe the greatest moment in radio history.
Yeah, because I guarantee you he would have looked at you and said, I have no idea.
Yeah, I really don't know if he would have said himself. Because I tipped him off. I was like looking at him being like, it's you.
Yeah.
And actually, then he jumped on.
If you would have got him to bite.
That would have been the biggest blooper in sports radio history. A question about his career he would not have been able to answer. Because do we have that isolated? Do you have that, Miles? Listen to Carlo when I asked the question where the answer is,
this is ridiculous.
Himself. This was his like, initial response.
Finished his career with the
his NHL career as a Buffalo Sabre.
I honestly can't think of one guy that I played with that played in Buffalo.
Such an idiot here.
Hello. It's him. But I don't even think Carlo is the Okay, so now that we've pushed back the worst of it, we might be able to mix in some of that Name That Leaf trivia because we weren't planning on doing that, but it was so bad. It was such an abomination yesterday.
It was a fiasco.
Yeah. You want a couple of
teasers?
Fastballs, a couple of teasers. I don't even know what Mullen's playing, but all this kind of stuff is going to be in it. Full credit to the grappler. He's put in a lot of work here. When the final masterpiece is put together, it's going to be like upwards of 9 minutes of material. And I'll bet you he missed hours.
Am I not crazy thinking it could be an hour?
It easily could be an hour. Easily. You could go back and just pick off a full segment and say, that should be in it. That's how bad that radio was.
I would like to see Ben do a libero and say, look at O's face here, where he didn't speak for 8 seconds. And then the clock goes 8 seconds.
That would be great.
Like an actual libero on TV.
But a professional.
Like a breakdown.
Like John King from CNN.
Yeah.
You know him with his stupid election board?
Right.
Get him up here and he can give a full breakdown of this guy's grill when it just is meltdown time. Okay, you ready for a little taste?
Yes, ready.
We defended and blocked shots and we did what we had to do to win. Hello?
We got you, Bruce.
We got you.
So you knew that was going to make it.
Yeah, for sure.
Any more?
Oh, yeah.
The 100 and the availability and kind of the things.
Someone routed him out.
Never know.
Yeah.
Listen, play that one
You got to play that again.
Zoodles. Oh, my God.
The 100 and the availability and kind of the things.
Someone routed him out.
Never know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Noodles, I forgot
My voice was going last night. Like, I've got a little bit of a cold. I'm fighting it.
Yeah.
About halfway through the game last night, I was, like, grinding.
Yeah. A big chunk of the best of is when you call the game in Vegas or the game with the fog. It's just Noodles in a, like,
just
you're in a fog.
Chewing on, it's windows up darts. Yeah. That's what it is.
Your voice, you sounded like Joel Quinville with a cold.
You got to have one more little nugget.
And then was able to push through and then provide some offense for us.
You all right there, Lindy?
Yeah, I'm all right, sorry.
There's the Lindy Ruff cough. That was one of the original.
Yeah.
That was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. Oh. Lindy Ruff, his name never comes up, like in terms of...
He's the assistant coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an associate coach with the Rangers, yeah.
But, I mean, he was a head coach for 20 years.
You know what the league has gone to? I was talking to an assistant coach who is not working now. And he said, if
they
you
want
take a
four look, head coaches
it,
on
that's
the
what it is, though. Like, I last night, like, I'm looking at, you know, it's DeBoer on one side, but like Ottawa's coaches, there's three head coaches there. Like, that's, you know, Jack Capuano coached for many years. Davis Payne coached, like, these guys, like, it's now many coaches, like, that are head coaches that are now associates.
Right. Well, I mean, there's 31 teams in the league. The amount of turnover is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be some new blood out of the American Hockey League, college, junior, whatever, Europe. Like, Ralph Kruger's back in the game.
You're right.
You know, he was in Europe running a soccer team.
Yeah.
And he's back.
But that's, like, Jim Montgomery gets fired, mm-hmm. all of that. Rick Bonus just slides left.
Who's been an assistant
for 2,000
games. 2,500 games.
Yeah, but he was also a head coach in New York with me.
In Boston he was a head coach.
Don't you think Craig Berube and Sheldon Keefe are factors, like, going forward as far as coaches? It's like, look at, like, they want to get results, and it happened with Sheldon Keefe. I think he started 14-4 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig Berube won the Stanley Cup. And every owner is probably thinking, man, if I just fire the coach, maybe it could result in drastic change. That's what they got to be thinking.
Last night, so we had a board. There's been seven coach changes. And three of them won their first game, and three of them lost. So last night was a tiebreaker, and obviously DeBoer won.
Mm-hmm. That game was over like 30 seconds into the game.
It was. Ottawa made a game of it near the end, but Vegas, you could tell they were... They were ready to roll.
They had to go, yeah.
Yeah, they were
sure.
ready to roll.
All right, we got a few more clips. We'll come back and get to those. We're teasing next week's worst of.
Yes. Give me the one where you are looking at me for 10 seconds, and then you're like, hello, we're on a radio show. Do you have that?
You have that one? Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't think you remember the context of it properly.
I remember
properly.
Watching it.
We were talking to Michael Lombardi, weren't we?
No. That is one. You're right. There is that one.
And you
I don't
took
know.
Like a 10-second delay, and then you looked at me and you're like, "Are you have nothing to say?
And he throws dynamite drop, Monty, doesn't he?
That's the different one. Okay. We've got, there are two different clips. Do you have both of those? You've only got the one. This is the one we have. Where this was all your fault. The Lombardi one, I'll take credit for. This one was on you. We were talking about your teeth. Listen to the clip. New set every 12 or 15 years, I think.
Dynamite dropped in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
I don't get how that's my fault. Like, aren't you as the host supposed
you
to, like...
Listening.
You looked at your phone. It was only the two of us in here. We're mid-conversation. I'm talking about your teeth.
To you.
And then you
Can
just
Can I hear
like,
that again? Because I want to know...
That was an 8-second.
I think I timed it, and it was, like, a legitimate 7 or 8 second dead air break.
Fire that one up again. I want to hear this.
New set every 12 or 15 years, I think.
Dynamite dropped in, Monty. Broadcast school is really paid
Imagine
off.
Driving around Toronto thinking, like, this is a big market. These guys, they must know what they're
like
doing.
Like, they have their own show.
Yeah. Like, it's a primetime show in the biggest market in the country. This should be good.
You're reaching for the dial going, I just lost these. Like, what's going
on? We lost the signal.
Lost the signal.
Like, what happened here?
That one was my fault. That was not good.
The Lombardi one was on me. Try to find that. We'll come back and we'll get to it. Before Michael comes on, he's coming on in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That one I
want to hear, because that was your fault.
It was really, there was a long pause. All right, we'll get into that. Conor McGregor back in the octagon tomorrow night. I'm not sensing there's a nearly as much hype.
No.
Nowhere close to it. And I just saw our boy Aaron Bronstetter, who's down there in Vegas, that would indicate the sports books are saying the same thing. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Michael Lombardi will join us in about 20 minutes. Al's brother will be on the clock prior to that. He will make two picks, the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game. We don't know who he's going to pick. And when he makes both picks, the O-Dog then can either accept both or defer, and then I have to accept both. All right, so we're not flipping a coin. We're not going back and forth. We're not making the pick. Al's brother will be making both of them.
What would your level of trust be the last time we did this? I got rinsed every game.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
I would trust him.
I don't. I wouldn't. But, you know, broken clock, at some point, Al's brother's going to connect.
Yeah.
I think. So Michael Lombardi coming up in about 20 minutes. We have that Lombardi audio. We'll play it in a minute. Our boy Aaron Bronstetter, our MMA analyst and reporter. He's down there in Vegas for UFC 246, where Cowboy is fighting Conor McGregor. McGregor back in the octagon for the first time since the Khabib fight, where it was ugly for him. And actually, Bronstetter did a really cool like prop bet segment with Dana White.
Right.
And he offered up an option of 4 or 5 fighters who McGregor will fight after Cowboy.
Right.
And one of them was Khabib, and White decided to write down Khabib, which leads me to believe they are praying
that
he wins tomorrow night. He has to win. And if he wins tomorrow night and looks good, the rematch will be set up. It'll be McGregor, this new man, changed man. He's trying to put forth this front. Like, now he's all about just taking it easy.
Did he punch a guy in the face in a bar, an old man in the bar, like 3 months ago?
Exactly. He's trying to rehabilitate his whole image. And he's got to be careful, because, like, I don't sense a ton of buzz, because he gets it going at these pre-fight
throwing water bottles, swearing,
exactly
confrontational.
But he can't do that. Like, he can't have the sideshow.
I get it, but that kind of stuff, that's the buildup to these things, and that's why everyone's like, oh, I got to buy that on pay-per-view.
That's who he is.
Well, his media tour
Floyd Mayweather was insane. It was down at the amphitheater.
I know, it was unreal.
It was crazy, and that's what he does. He promotes, like, unless you're a diehard UFC fan, a lot of people wake up on a day like today, Friday, before the fight, and they go, oh, McGregor's fighting tomorrow.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even know it, because He's a choir boy now. Like right. he's putting for he's trying to rehabilitate his image, but he's got to have the best of both worlds, in my opinion. You stop getting arrested or getting charged. Stop being an idiot.
Right.
But also show up and promote and perform and be a character, because that is what has made him as popular as he has become.
If you weren't in San Fran, would you buy the fight tomorrow? Like, you're probably going to go out for dinner with your brother-in-law and say, you know what, let's just watch the fight.
Yeah, we're going to go find it.
But if you were at home, would you say this is must-have for
me? I don't think so right
me
now.
Me neither. Like,
but if he's fighting Habib again, that is must-have. But he's got to win tomorrow for that to happen. If he loses tomorrow, then you're like, where are you going?
Do we know what the odds are? Like, what has Vegas got it as? Because Cowboy's not a pushover.
No, he's not.
This guy's a
he's
veteran.
Mean.
Yeah,
I don't know what the...
like,
we
can
find
imagine?
That out.
Like that, like Cowboy is a grizzled fighting vet. Like the ears on him, like those UFC fighters, it's like a cabbage attached to their head on each side.
Yeah, the cauliflower ear. He has fought in that weight class, I believe, more than anyone else in UFC history.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many fights Cowboy has, but it's more than anybody else in that weight. Like, just every 3 months, he's like, I'm going back in. I'm like, going back in.
I actually am going to watch it, or I'll buy it and tape it, depending on what games are on tomorrow night.
I'm
on a flight,
by
too.
Him.
Like, I'm calling that the Calgary-Ottawa game at 4 o'clock tomorrow in Ottawa, and there's supposed to be some snow and all that fun stuff. So, But I want to see it.
McGregor, he pushes the needle, but nowhere close to where he was a year and a half ago, 3 years ago. And Bronstetter, again, our MMA insider down in Vegas, tweeted out about 40 minutes ago that betting for UFC 246 has been lighter than expected at MGM Resorts in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think that would indicate that McGregor is not the fight isn't being promoted the same way. It's not being anticipated in the same fashion that he's had with other fights in the past.
That's tough. Like, how does that transaction go down? Does Dana White go up to him and say, hey, man, like, nobody really cares about you anymore? This is not...
Well, it's too late now. It's too late.
The analytics will sort that out.
No, but I'm saying in the future...
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think if tomorrow night, if they're really soft on buys, well, if they're soft on, you know, bets and stuff, although bets, that's not their prerogative.
No.
Right.
But it's basically, it's buys. Well, who's buying the fight? And if it's down significantly...
Right.
Yes, they're going to go to him and say, we can't pay you for this anymore. You got to start amping up here and promote right. differently, or promote the way you used to promote.
I asked my buddy who knows Cowboy about the money and stuff, but he said Connor always pulls over 1 million in pay-per-view buys, which is like UFC 100 numbers, which is one of the
biggest. Yeah, they're monster numbers, yeah.
So that's why everyone wants to fight Connor, is because people want to see that. So that'll get back to the analytics and the actual buys.
Right.
As to how popular this fight is and how much he moves the needle. But if it's down...
The data's right there in front of you. They know exactly who bought.
But if it's down and he wins and Habib is next up, that's where it'll probably juice up, because they'll both start to act up, too.
Well, that's where... I don't know if they will, because you need Connor too, though, because Habib is not like that. Like, Habib is just going to be...
Isn't he the guy who wrestled the bear when he was a kid?
Yeah, he's cool, calm, and collected. He's religious. He's not right. going to do anything. Like, he respects the fight game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that. Habib is not going to promote for you. His fighting is going to promote, because he's an all-time great fighter. But McGregor, what works so well with those two is McGregor.
Right.
McGregor played the role of antagonizer, of yelling and screaming, throwing things, yelling different things, crossing the line many times.
Yes.
But if he's not going to do that, you know, that's the fight game. You got to promote. You got to promote, like, some sort of animosity, and
yeah,
we don't like each other.
The sideshow.
That's it.
It must get to a point where Conor McGregor is like, look, I can't go crazy every time. Remember the throwing the water bottle at people?
Yeah, that was against Diaz.
Like, how do you, you can't fake that. You can't go crazy every press conference.
When he threw a chair through the bus window. Remember, a guy was caught?
Yeah, that was in Brooklyn. That wasn't even his fight.
He got arrested for that, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a warrant out anyway. He's 3-1 favorites over Cowboy. Basically 3-1. So we'll see tomorrow night. And we'll see how the fight goes and how he looks, and then we'll figure out where he takes his career beyond that. Michael Lombardi in the next hour. Craig Button, I believe, in studio as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan?
Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.